that while we're breathing, you want to add to our life. And so, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you and I worship you and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I went through this last week, and I'm going to, I learned things last week when I was preaching. I preached this for years, and it doesn't matter how many times I read the Bible and how much I preach, the Word of God always becomes alive to me in different ways that I never ever seen before. Because one of the things that I know that in life, we're born, we live, and then we die, right? That's sort of like, I know there's a long spaces in there, but the purpose of our life, and I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking to me about being a preacher and a Christian and different things, and I was telling him that if I had to do my life over again, I probably wouldn't change a whole lot because I've lived a really good life. Other than probably the first 20 years, I would try to do different. And the reason is because, and it really made a difference last week because many people don't have purpose in their life. They just, they think if they get this big house, then they're going to be happy. And they think, or if they get, and I like houses, I like cars, so I'm not against any of that stuff. But none of that stuff fulfills or gives life to your life. And I think the most important thing in life is the Bible says this, freely you have what received, freely give. And I think the most wonderful thing in life for every individual person is to have fulfillment, right? And I believe that because, see, where does fulfillment come from? By doing more for you? No. Fulfillment comes from doing things for others or doing God's plan for your life. And when you follow God's plan for your life, you have purpose. And when you have purpose, you have will, you have desire to finish the race. You know how Paul talked about, you know, I fought a good fight. And I finish my course, right? And when you can finish your course, most people are going through life just wondering what the purpose of life is. And I want to tell you, the beginning of your life begins with who? God. And when you get born again, that's where fulfillment really comes from. And I wanted to say this because I learned this last week when I was preaching here, so I'm going to read. Finally, in verse 8, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8. And I'm just going to try to carry on where I was last week, because when I see certain phrases in the Bible, they really make me wake up, because I want to have what it says, and therefore I want to do and see it. So it says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as the brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. So, and I said this on Wednesday night, and I'm going to just say it here. I'm going to take time on Sunday mornings like I try to do on Wednesday nights. Because on Wednesday nights, we only have usually, you know, 10 or 15, 20 people here. And it's different. It's the same word. It's just a different atmosphere. It's more laid back. And everybody, you can just take time to just talk about one thing all night, and if you only get that far, it's okay because you can do it next week. But one of the things that, I try to say this, I said this to my own daughter about 2 weeks ago, because when you're believing God for things, how many people are believing God for anything, right? Just believing God. And I just said to my daughter, I said, I want to tell you something. The Bible says that faith, the grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast in the sea, and it'll listen to you. So all you need is just a little bit of faith. And the Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure of what? So everybody that's born again has been dealt the measure of faith. And all you need is a little bit. And I say it like this. If you do what you know to do, it'll begin to work in your life. Because a lot of people think, well, when I get... it's just like money. A lot of people will say, well, when I have money, then I'll help and give. But you know what? I laugh because I'm a director for Jerry Savelle Ministries, which is a great honor for me. But it's just because I love the ministry and I love how he treats the poor and what they do around the world. And it's an honor that I was asked to be a director years ago for them. But you know, when I give, I've been a partner of him since Julie and I were married, right? Or within 6 or 7 months. And you know how much I give them a month? $6 and cents. It depends on the dollar currency, but we would give them $6 a month. Yeah, I know. We ended up giving them $10 a month. Canadian. Thank you for my wonderful wife helping me. Aren't wives great? Where would we be without a wife telling us what to do? But so every month we would give them $10 Canadian. And then when you do the exchange, right, Julie? It would be between $6 and $7. And I said to Julia, in my mind, what is that? It's nothing. But it was big to us. Because we just wanted to be a part of what they were doing. And I thought later on in life, when they asked John and I to be a director, I thought he never knew what I actually give him. No, I, but we wanted to give out of what we had. And if you know what to do with what you got today, it's enough to get you where you want to go. Many people are waiting to have this big thing happen and then I'll do something. You can smile at somebody, you can be kind to somebody, you can make something big happen with where you're at, because all you need to do, and I believe this, is to do what you know to do. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but many people don't do what they know to do, and that's why things don't work in their life. So I'm just going to carry on and read. But I said to my daughter, and that's where I started all this, I said to my daughter, faith works by what? She said, I don't know. I think she did know, she just didn't want to tell me. Because I was telling her for a reason. And I said, love. So faith will subdue mountains, or it'll help us to overcome anything we face in life. I actually believe that. I actually believe that. It's not based on how talented you are or how gifted you are. It's a gift. It's free. And you got to use it. And I said, but faith operates by love. And when I read the Bible has so much to say about love. What does it say here? It says here, finally, my brethren, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Now, this is what came alive to me last week, and I'm not going to carry on there. But we were created to do what? To be a blessing, right? And that's what I said here. It says, don't render evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. That's what our job is to do, is to be a blessing. And when you're a blessing to people, wherever you go, what do you get out of that? You get joy. You get joy. You get joy. You know, I had a guy say to me yesterday, I had a friend of mine that didn't have a lot of money. And his son's a really good hockey player. And his son was got the chance to play for Team Ontario. And they had to fly to Edmonton and do it. So I give them, it wasn't a lot of money, it was a couple thousand dollars or maybe a little more to help them fly so he could play for Team Ontario. And then he said to me, why would you do that? Because I said, I want to see your boy succeed. And the Bible says if it's in your power to do something, do it. Right? Right? Our job is created not to render evil for evil, not to look after ourselves, not to to be bitter. Our job in life is to be what? A blessing. He says, contrarywise, a blessing. And then he says this, knowing that you were thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So God's blessed us. The Bible already said he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. Why do you think I'm so happy in life? I'm asking you something. Because I'm a blessing. I mean, whether it was $10 or $4 or $2, it's not the amount of the money. I want to tell you, it's not. It's our job is to be a blessing in life. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to tell you something. For the first 20 years of my life, I never thought of anybody else but who? But me. I never thought of anybody else but me. And where did that end me up? I don't know if that's proper English, but where did that end me up? I was the most miserable, unhappy person that was wanting to end my life with a shotgun stuck in my hand. Because all I thought about was myself. The Bible says this, and that's why I'm taking time, and I appreciate you allowing me to take time, because I want our church family, and I said this last week, as a pastor, I know I'm not always the greatest preacher. I'm John Trotter. I don't try to be like anybody else, but the one thing that God placed inside of me as a pastor is this one thing. I want our whole church family to succeed in life. Do you know, and it's one of the hardest things, the same as a parent. Do you think as a dad, and this is the same thing, it's not something that I had. It's something that God put in me as the gift of a pastor. That I lay in bed at night and I pray for people in our church. I phone people in our church when God lays them on my heart. And I know they're struggling, and I know they're not well, or I know that they're going through hard times, whether it's whatever way it can be. And that God's placed them on my heart, and I phone them to encourage them, because I am not God. God's placed gifts inside of me, and my heart is that every person that's in our church family, I want them to succeed. I don't want them to die young. I want them to all be able to pay their bills. I want them and their family to be happy. I want the kids. And I can't make everybody happy. So wherever it is, my job is to pray for them. And I care. I care just like my own kids. I want my kids to succeed. I want them to be happy. And I know that I can't do that. I said to my children, and I'm so blessed today because of it, but I said to my children, I can help you and I can do certain things for you, but I can't at this time of my life do everything for you, even though I want to. But I know one person that can give you the desires of your heart. I know one person that will promise you that he'll give you your dreams to come true if you just follow him. And his name is Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, the Word, he'll do the same for you that he did for me. If you'll put God first in your life, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his way of doing things. He'll bring you into the place in your life where you'll have the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect jobs, the perfect... God can do that for you, but you got to seek God. So my job as a pastor, I actually don't want just to see three people in our church doing well and the other 99 or 97% not doing well. I want everybody in our church family to succeed, and that's something in my heart. And that's why I try to take the time. And so I know one thing right here. The Bible says that we were created to be a blessing. And if you want joy, the best thing you need to do is get your eyes off you and begin to look at on people, other people. I want to tell you this. This is ironic, but this is a true story. I had some people I worked for on the lakes around here. And this guy is a, what do you call them people, a professor in that works in schools. He's a professor. He's a smart guy. And his wife does something too, like smart like that. And they're wonderful people. And we did a big stone job for them. And he came to me, and she came to me, and she said this to me. It's a true story. She said, I've never met anybody that's happy all the time. Are you like this all the time? And I said, either I'm happy like this all the time, or I'm just too stupid to see all the things that go wrong to let me get me down. So yeah, I am happy all the time. And she said to me, I've never met anybody like this. That's just happy. And I said to her, you know why I'm happy? I said, because I lived for 20 years and I lived for myself. And I said, I wasn't happy. And I said, I tried to do it my way. And I said, then I asked Jesus in my heart. And I told him this because I ask. I don't preach to people I work for. But when they ask, I tell them. I said, I asked Jesus in my heart. And I said, I started to care about other people. And I said, my whole world changed. And I said, I told them, I try every day. And I honestly purpose every day to do this. And this is, everybody has a different gift. Like Marilyn was here. Is she still here? Where is Marilyn? Marilyn has a gift. And so does many other people in our church family. But Marilyn's gift is she writes cards to people to encourage people. That's a gift that God's given her. And she does that. And it's brought great joy because I know I've heard from many different people how they were ready to give up or ready to quit or they just couldn't see. And Marilyn wrote them a card. So everybody is different, okay? So you don't have to do what I do to have joy. But what I like to do is I like to give. Whether it's my time, I don't have much, so I don't give much of that. But I like to give money, okay? I don't mean thousands of dollars, but I like to, every day, I purpose to just give something, just every day. So you could have a gift to encourage somebody, to smile, to phone somebody. Like, everybody's got a different gift. But every day I try to do this, and I said to this lady, I said, I try every day, especially if I'm having a hard time or a struggle, I try to find somebody that's worse off than me and I try to help them. I don't care if they're Christian people or they're non-Christian people. Just in my day, every day, I try to give something away. Every day. And I do. And she said, really? I've never heard of that. So she phoned me about 3 months later, last year, and she said to me, I've been thinking about what you said to me. And we've sort of always thought of ourselves. And I said, really? She said, we've never really thought of ever helping somebody else. You know, we're thinking of our future and we're thinking of our retirement. And we're thinking of, you know, our investments. And she's just talking. We're just talking. And I said, well, maybe you should try thinking of somebody else. So she said, okay. So she phoned me back about another month and she said, you know, we want to do something this Christmas. We've always spent a lot of money on ourselves. Do you know anybody that could use, that doesn't have anything and doesn't, that needs a Christmas? So this lady gave me thousands of dollars, is what she did, to bless somebody in Apsley. And she certainly blessed somebody in Apsley. And she, after she did that, these people that she blessed wrote a letter to her. And she said, phoned me back, she said, I usually tell the stories, but I don't tell all the story. And she said, you're absolutely right. We felt so good this year because we actually helped somebody else. And she said, I've never had joy like that. It was so wonderful to see somebody that couldn't do anything, just that I could do it, and it made me feel so good. She said, this year, we want to do way more. I said, well, bring it on. We had a great Christmas last year. No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. I'm joking. I never got a penny of it. But you know what? And Julia thinks I'm crazy. We didn't. But it's wonderful. Why? Because the Bible says here, most people are always trying to look after themselves. And most people, if somebody does them dirt, they let it in their heart, and they're bitter, or somebody fails them. Do you know what? I probably make fail people every day. Like, I don't even mean to. And when people fail me, I don't even worry about it. Like my son, this is the way I'm not just like this in when I'm Christian, doing the Christian thing, like preaching. I'm like this in life. When people want more, you just do it. You just do it, because the Bible says here, you cannot afford, listen to me, you cannot afford to allow bitterness in your heart. The Bible says this, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. How can you have compassion in your heart? How can you? Can you do that within yourself? No, you need God. That's why everybody needs Jesus. And then when you have Jesus, you can have compassion and you can make a difference in life. Now I know I'm not talking about a lot, but it says here, don't render evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. That's what we're to do, is to bless. Now the Bible also says, bless them that persecute you and curse you and do all manner of evil against you. Like, there's lots of scriptures, but this is what we were created to do, is to be a blessing in life. Just to be a blessing. And then he says here, he says, knowing that you're going to inherit a blessing. And then he says, for he that will love life, and see, this is what I like. So when I see stuff like this in the Bible, I look to what it says, because this is what I want for my life. This is what I want for my wife's life. This is what I want for my children's life. When I see this, I love it. It says here, he says, for he that will love life and see good days. So how many people want to love life? Right? I want to love life, and I do love life. And I want to see good days. I want to see long days. I don't want to just, I want to, so the Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. So it says this, so if, and this is a part of it, I'm not talking about just what your words are, but if you want to see good days and love life, how many people want to love life? Just alone, just love life, enjoy life. Just enjoy life, because there's so many people that don't enjoy life. They hate their life. Don't be evil. Don't do evil for evil, but be a blessing. The Bible says, let this man refrain his tongue from speaking what? Evil. Do you know I've said things before? And then I've had to go back and tell people I'm sorry. Because this isn't to do with other people. This is to do with you. Because see, it's my dad always said this, and I never really understood it till later on, because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So he's the same. The Bible says this. The Bible doesn't say this. My dad used to say this. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And I'd say, Dad, what do you mean? Well, he said, Jesus paid the price and he did it all for us. So it's available for every person in here. Every individual that's listening to me, it's there for you. And if something's going to happen, it's going to be because you've taken what God said and you applied it. I've said to some people before, forgive them. I'm not forgiving them. You don't know what they did to me. And I'm like, because you don't want to limit God from working in your life. Does that make any sense to anybody? Because see, it's not God withholding from people. We were created to be a blessing, not a curse. And if you want to just walk in the favor and blessing of God, you've got to be one that's a blessing. You can't harbor bitterness. Do you know what? I've had people do me wrong. I've had people say things about me. I've had people think that the only reason I'm at this church is so I can drive a nice car and take your money. I have people that told me that the only reason you're there, we know you, John. We remember you when you were young. The only reason you're there is because there's money there and there's a whole bunch of people that give to you. And I said, yeah, and it's nice. Do you see my car? Like, I don't even play into their little whatever. Then they don't know what to say. I had somebody, I was at the bank one day, and I mean, and I might have had $200 in the bank. This was a long time ago. And I didn't have nothing. But I never tell, because I understand my words are life. And so people would say to me, must be nice to have what you have. And then they said, I was at the bank, and they said that, and they said, are you making a withdrawal? Are you putting money in? And they were trying to make fun of me. It must be nice to be what you are, and you better let me take a withdrawal before you do, so there's money left. And they said, it must be nice, and I said, oh, it is nice. But I had $200 in the bank. I didn't have like thousands of dollars. But I don't care, because see, my joy doesn't come from having money or having this or having that. My joy comes from God, and my joy comes from being what? A doer of what God's word. Because see, that's where you get fulfillment, is when you do what God says. Because the Bible says here, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So you're to ensue or pursue, right? Pursue God. Pursue the word. Pursue what's right. Because I'm telling you something, the word of God works in our life. It'll change your life. I know this isn't a real exciting or funny or anything this morning, but this will change your life. If you want to have good days, long days, and you want to have joy every day and have a good life, don't let bitterness and evil. Watch what you say about people. Whatever you try to say to somebody, try to encourage them. God can help you to forgive people. And then he goes on to say here, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear is open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he?" Now listen to me. Listen to this. I love this. I actually absolutely love this. And I believe this. It says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Who? 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 Do you know that I had people in this own town? And this is why I don't worry what other people do. I don't get in the... I don't do it. I will not do it. I've had people try to hurt me in my business. I remember one job that we were going to do. Another fella came and he said, "Oh, you don't want to get them. Do you know his kids, the little kids? They do all his work for him. Do you want a kid doing it or do you want a professional?" Well, I'll tell you what, my kids are professional. And they phoned me and said, "Is it true that your kids do your work?" I said, "Yeah, it is true." And but my kids are 20 years old. And 21 and 19 and 18 and stuff. And so anyways, I didn't get the job. I said, no, that's fine. It's okay. I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word. I have never ever tried to hurt any of my competition. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because I know where my help comes from, and I know that I want to have peace. And who will? The Bible says here. See, because I'm telling you this because I actually believe this. I believe this Bible. See, because if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it, right? See, and that's why I believe it. I just believe. I believe the Bible and I believe all points of it. So I believe that you need to be born again. The Bible doesn't say there's many ways to heaven. You know, just like Peter, we can go down through 46 to Havelock and down 7. Or we can go down 28. Or I can actually go to Torrey Hill and I can go to Goodrum and I can go down 36 and I can go down through Buckhorn and then I can cut across backside of Buckhorn Tennis Moore actually if I wanted. And then I can come out of Ennismore, go across the bridge to Bridge North and go to Peterborough. Or I can actually, before I get to the bridge, I can turn right and go up to Fowler's Corners. And there's many ways to Peterborough. There's one way to God. There's one way to heaven. You know why? Why I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." See, and the reason I do that is that I actually believe that. I don't go and tell people that don't believe in Jesus, that believe in Muhammad or somebody. I don't say, "Oh, you're stupid and crazy." But when somebody asks me, and the reason I say that is I believe that because I believe, and just as much as I believe this. The Bible says here, "Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" So what do you think a follower is? I'm just saying, what do you think a follower is? So if he's going that way, and he says to love, and he says to keep peace, and he says to not get involved with evil, what do you think a follower is? Do you do that, or do you just go this way and say, you know what, I don't care really what you're saying. I don't really care what God says. You know what? This guy hurt me, and I'm going to do what I can to hurt him back. I want the blessing of God in my life. I want to have health in my life. And what I do has a lot to do with me living in health. Do you know what one of the biggest things of living in health is? I'm just telling you. Just know it's joy. Happiness. Do you know, and this isn't a God thing. Now, I can tell you, forget anything in the world. But I'm just saying, if you just believe the Bible, it's all you need. But I've listened to doctors and studies. And they say that when you laugh, there's enzymes that come out in your body that bring healing to it. Now, I'm just asking you this. What do you think? Who do you think made that? God did. So you might as well laugh. You might as well laugh. I was driving my van yesterday. I haven't drove it for a long time, and it was all I left. Julie, everybody else takes the good vehicles, and I got a van. So I'm driving this van down the road, and I go to look in the mirror, and there is none. It's gone. I mean gone, gone. And then I get out, and I look at it, and there's a scrape right down the whole side of the van. And I says, oh, well. So then I didn't even realize. I went by a cop and waved to him and didn't realize there's no taillight on it either. Till I got. And I just said, Julia, did you drive this? Anyways, what did I do? I just laughed. What's the sense in it? What is the sense in it? I did ask Julie if she knew who did it. She said, no, nobody said nothing to me. What's the sense of getting mad about stuff? I had a brand new vehicle. Brand new. Like that I bought with Mom and Dad. And then when Mom and Dad died, we got it back. And I go out one morning, and I knew who was driving this one, and the mirror's gone, the doors won't open, the door handles are gone. So they've been pretty tight to something, and there's the whole side of the car is, and at that time, I'm still learning, right? I got mad. But I didn't say anything. And so I just sort of, by the time I said, and then I just went to my son, one of them, and I said, texting and driving, were you? Yep. So you going to do it again? No. What'd you hit? Oh, a whole line of guardrails. We all have it. Everybody does it. I don't mean texting and driving. I mean things go wrong. Stuff breaks. Some jobs we do, you think you're going to make $10,000 and then they wreck something and you lose $10,000. Oh, well, life is too short to get angry. I'm not lying, because what is it in life that really gets people angry? Stuff that goes wrong, when you're not expecting it. That's what gets people angry. You're expecting, and I'm not always a sweetheart. I don't mean that. Sometimes I get frustrated. But do I ever let it out? Not very often. Why? Why? I'm asking you why. I'm not no hero. The reason it does this to me is because in here, God says, don't. He's trying to help you. Don't. Don't do it. Don't. And you got to listen. Why? Because he wants you to prosper and he wants you to have joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you lose your strength, you've lost everything. If you lose your strength, you've lost your fight. You have to do what God says. And you will do well. I can tell you. The Bible says here, and who is he that will harm you? See, people have a hard time believing me. But who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You might have people go around and talk about you. You might have people say things about you. You might have people take jobs from you because they make it like it's really not. But who is your help? Who are you living for? Who are we living for? The Lord. And when you serve Him, now listen. I believe, again, in the Bible. I believe he made the sun and the moon and the stars. I'm not just talking like a preacher trying to wind people up. I actually believe this. If you believe that he made heaven and earth and the fullness thereof, do you not think that he can bless your business? Do you not think he can bless your kids? Do you not think that he can, look at King David. Look at King David. Saul tried to kill him. Just a good example. For a long time. David could have killed Saul. Because he went up to Saul one night when Saul was sleeping. And he cut a piece off his clothing. And his men said, let me just kill him now, and then our problems will be done. Let's just kill him now. And he said, no, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Who ended up reigning? Who ended up having a lot of wives? Not that that's a real great thing. I don't mean that. I'm just saying. Well, David had quite a few too. Who ended up being a man after God's own heart? Why? Why would he not, even in the Old Testament, kill the man that was causing him problems? Because he wanted to do it God's way. And Saul tried to do everything he could, every time he could, to kill him. But he would not do it. He was going to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, you end up in the right place. Who is it? And I love this, because who in life? Recession? Hard times? People? That's why I don't live. I'm not a fearful man. Do you know why? I don't even look at the economy sometimes. Like, they don't look at the, oh, things are up, things are down, things are this, things. You know why? Because the kingdom of God's rules are different. When you serve God, you win. That's why you just need to keep doing it. We're so used to Tim Hortons and McDonald's. And what I mean by that is this, because I was, when you go into a Tim Hortons drive-thru, I've been in a drive-thru before and there's a guy 2 feet ahead of me and the guy behind me is honking. Because he's wanting us to hurry up. It's like, oh, okay, where am I going to go? Like, you want to get up there and just punch him right in the head. You think, like, you stupid moron? Like, can you not see four cars in front of me? And I'm, like, this far from his bumper? What do you want me to do? Everybody is so much in a hurry today. And we're so used to having things now that we don't want to believe God and do it God's way, because doing it God's way, it's not just an incident, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we did for 20 years before we ever seen anything. Like, we were happy though then. But we never seen a lot of stuff happen in our life. But I want to tell you, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it, but we've just kept serving God, and when we made mistakes, we kept getting up, and when I'd say things wrong, I'd say, would you forgive me, and would you, even my own kids, sometimes I do things that I shouldn't do, and then I have to go to them and say I'm sorry, but I do it. You just keep doing your best to do what's right, and do it God's way. And if you let bitterness in your heart and you blow up, just go and be the man and just, or a woman, and just say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Because I want to do it God's way. And I can tell you something, that God has blessed Julia. God has blessed John. God has blessed my family. And it's nothing to do with us, you just got to do it God's way. It's sort of like when you light a, like, when you got a fireworks, this was funny. This was fun, actually. But when you light a fireworks, you don't have to do anything else other than aim it. Whether you stick it in the ground and you aim it up in the sky, or you can hold some of them them ones and you can shoot one another with them, you just got to aim it. I had fun. We had so much fun. I'll tell you this. And the Word of God is like that. Once you light it, it works. We John Jr. and myself, I don't know what happened, but I spent a bunch of money. I'm pretty cheap when it comes to just stuff where you just waste it. It's gone. Like, I don't like to, you can ask my wife. Anyways, I'm getting better though. But we went and bought like $400 or something or more of fireworks. John Jr. paid for a bunch, and I bought a bunch, and we went down to the cottage John and I have, and we filled that beach right full of fireworks. I mean, full. And we told our neighbors that don't like us, you know what? Our neighbors swear at us. Our neighbors yell at us. They curse at us. They blow horns at us. They ring bells. They put lawnmowers on the side of the waterfront and let them run all day with no mufflers on them to try to bug us. But we like noise. Well, we don't mind noise. And they don't like noise. You don't want us as your neighbor. And so I went to one neighbor and I said, we're going to have fireworks because I don't want you. I just want you to know. So, why don't you come over and watch? And they said, no, but we'll go on our dock. We do have communion here. The reason I'm talking about this is it's time to get ourselves all right before we have communion. So it doesn't matter what you've done yesterday. Today is a new day. Just purpose to do things God's way. I'm going to forgive whether I feel like it, or whether I'm still hurt, or whether I still feel abused, or I'm just going to forgive because I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to be nice to people. Not because I feel like being nice. I'm just going to be nice to people. I'm just going to purpose to do it. God's way. Because who is going to harm me if I do it God's way? Nobody. So you know what? You're going to win. When nobody can touch you, you're going to win. And so these people that swear and yell at us all the time, my John Jr. and Grace and who else? Cam, my son-in-law. They said, should we tell them? I said, yeah, tell them. So they went right over there and they knocked on their door. And they were very shocked to see us over there. And they said, we just want to invite you over to come on over and watch these fireworks. And they didn't even know what to say. And they said, well, thank you. So, weren't they? Thank you so much for letting us know. We don't want to come over there, but we'll open our windows and we'll watch from here. Thank you. So we went over, and the other neighbors on the other side, they went on their dock. Well, we started lighting fireworks off, and it was a lot of fireworks, and it was fun. And one of the fireworks moved, and it... You know, it went bang the first time, and then they have about eight more. Well, it went bang, and I didn't have it in the sand far enough, and it tilted, and it went right over my neighbor's head, about 5 feet, and blew up right over their head. I never seen so many people get off a dock so fast. And that was just one. It kept going. Oh. Anyways, you still got to try to do the right thing. I said, sorry, guys. We're not professionals. Who is he that will harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. I want to tell you something. If you'll follow him, people might do you wrong. People might say you're wrong. But when it's all said and done, you and God are going to win. Because he trumps everybody. And everything. Right? Let's have communion. What's communion? It's where we remember what Jesus did. Jesus forgave us of everything that we ever did. And he said to us, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't put conditions on that. He didn't put and said, okay, if you're... He didn't put no conditions. I'm not even going to say. God loves you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, it's the most important thing that you will ever do. That's why we do communion. We're doing this in remembrance. You know, if you made a mistake, you can just say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. And you know, that's how easy it is to get right with God. Thank you very much. I want to tell you something. Serving God is amazing. Doesn't mean that your life is always 100% perfect. Doesn't mean that you don't have things go wrong and things don't break and things don't... But in the long run, you win. And it's a lot happier being around a person that's happy than it is sad. Right? Is it right, Pearl? I love being around people that joke around and have fun. God loves people, and he loves you today. When we take communion, the Bible says when we do this in remembrance of what he did for us. So maybe you haven't forgiven. I'm not telling you, I'm not going to come to your life and say, have you forgiven? I'm just saying my heart is to see people blessed. And I can tell you, every person in here, if they do what the God says, you will be blessed. You might have blown it in the last 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. Just come and get it right. Like, just wait, before you take this, just say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to purpose to do it your way. I'm going to purpose to do it your way. You know, his body was broken for us. I want to tell you this. I'm telling you this for a reason. His body was broken. The yours doesn't have to be broken. I believe that. I believe he took the stripes on his back for your healing. I believe that. When you take that bread, you say, Lord, you were broken for me. And I'm taking this in remembrance of you. And I receive healing today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your... You set this thing up for us so we could win in life. I know every one of us has went through hard times. We've all went through disappointments. We've all went through times where it doesn't look like things are going to work. We've all disappointed people in our life. We've all said things that we shouldn't say. We've all probably lost our temper. But Lord, we just keep coming back to you to get things right. Father, you said when we come together to do this in remembrance of you, you said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we take this bread or this cracker. This is just a cracker, but it represents your body, which was broken, bruised, mutilated. And the difference is we take this in faith. Because I'm taking this knowing that you are the healer. We receive everything that you paid for. We won't limit you, God. I receive it right now. Every bit of what you did, every bit of healing. That's physically, body, legs, heart, veins, spleens, brain, ears. We're just gonna do it, Lord, whether people laugh at us. We're gonna believe you. This isn't my idea, this is your idea. But we believe you, Lord. We're going to have a happy life, a long life, and a joyful life. We're going to have good days. And I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. This cup it represents your body your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. When your body was beaten, the blood covered our sin. I know most people that come to church know Jesus. But if you've never, ever said, "Lord, I believe that you sent Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross. And I ask you to come and be a part of my life. Live inside of me." If you've never done that, you need to do that today. Just say, "Jesus, come into my life. I need your help. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I receive this. I thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy because you seated us where you are, in heavenly places in Christ, because of what you did at the cross. We receive it now with thanksgiving. We thank you for the forgiveness of our mistakes. And we receive peace in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you for everyone that's here. I know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know the great thing about grace is this. See, God is a God of grace. If you've blown it, even four times doing the same thing, when you come to Him, He forgives you. Even if you've done things you know that have harmed you and put you in a position why you are where you are physically today, grace is this. You can come and say, "God, I've ate completely wrong. I haven't looked after my body. I haven't done anything that I should have did. But I ask you to forgive me. And now I know you're going to help." And I want to tell you something. Grace overlooks all that and brings you to Him. The helper, the healer. It's amazing. That's why we can all win. Because of the blood of the Lamb. And the sacrifice that He took. Father, I thank you for this day. I ask you to bless the giver, bless the food, bless everyone that's here today. I thank you for great things that have taken place today. I just heard this, and then I'm going to close because I know it's 12 o'clock. But many people have tried to work at receiving. I just heard in my spirit this. You've tried to work and it's become laborsome, laboring at receiving. And the Lord just said to me, to tell you to relax. He said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So don't labor at trying to receive. Just believe you already have it. And just relax. And just trust me. For you working the way you are, is only limited, not stopping me, but you're limiting me, because you're only allowing me to do what I can a little bit, because you're doing the rest. It's time now to enter into faith. And get joyful. Because if you could have already fixed it, you would have. Just even right now, relax. I feel the power of God. The presence of God right now is flowing in through you. Just relax. That's the anointing of God right there. Creating a healing and a wholeness right in you right now. Just receive that. For my yoke is easy, easy. Not burdensome or heavy. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's the anointing of God. Lord, I just thank you for our wonderful church family. You love people so much. That's why you gave the best. And we are so thankful you gave us Jesus. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.